Hello, hello. This is Kathavani. Welcome back to this episode of Ramayana, episode 16 in Ayodhya Kanta, Rama's Dharma and Decision. Thank you for listening. In the last episode, we left King Dasharatha in Queen Kaikeyi's chambers, wretched and shattered. He was unable to persuade his beloved queen to give up her demands to stop Rama's coronation and send Rama away for 14 years. On top of this, she wanted to crown Bharata instead as the heir to the throne using all the materials gathered and the preparations already completed for Rama's coronation. Kaikeyi had sent for Rama, and Rama, along with Lakshmana and the chief minister Sumatra, who was the messenger, set out to Kaikeyi's palace through the festive streets of Ayodhya, greeted by the cheering crowds. None were aware of Mantra, the maid's interference, and Kaikeyi's resolve to upend the coronation proceedings. Rama arrived at Kaikeyi's palace, surrounded by fanfare fit for a king. People inside and outside the palace were overjoyed to see Prince Rama on this special day and welcomed him exuberantly. Rama, without any further delay, respectfully approached the queen's private area to see his father. King Dasharatha was still lying down on a couch with Queen Kaikeyi sitting beside him. The old king looked pale, gaunt, and emaciated. Rama didn't expect to see his father in this wretched state. Quickly pulling himself together, he greeted his father first, with respect as usual, and fell at the feet of both his father and Queen Kaikeyi. Dasharatha said, "Rama," and was speechless after. Overwhelmed, his eyes filled with tears and looked away. Rama had never seen his father in so much distress, breathing heavily, looking agitated and unwilling to see or speak to him. He turned to Queen Kaikeyi and addressed her with respect and confusion. "Mother, have I committed any offense that grieves my father? Please tell me if he is angry and hence won't speak to me. Has some misfortune occurred to my brothers Bharata or Shatrughna or my mothers? Why is father dejected? Has anyone said harsh words out of anger or injury that has disturbed his mind? Or could he be ill and in severe mental or physical agony? Please tell me right away the truth about what has caused this unprecedented change in my father and his behavior towards me." Kaikeyi responded without hesitation, "Rama, your father is neither hurt nor ill. He is unable to say anything unpleasant to you, his beloved son. He promised me two wishes a long time ago, and now I have claimed these, letting him know how he can grant these wishes. After hearing my wishes, he is repenting now, like a common man, for rewarding me these boons for saving his life. He has refused to carry out my wishes. Rama, this king will abandon truth for your sake. Give me your word that you will fulfill the king's promise, and I will relate the whole thing to you." Rama, who was devoted to truth, was immensely disturbed by Queen Kaikeyi's words and responded, "Mother, tell me you have my word that I will carry out the king's desire." Kaikeyi then unabashedly told Rama the details and concluded, "Depart today for Dandaka forest to live as an ascetic for 14 years, wearing matted locks and deer skin. I have asked that Bharata be installed as heir to rule the kingdom from Ayodhya. The preparations for his coronation are already completed. The king is unable to speak, torn by compassion for you and his steadfast attachment to truth. Make it easier for him to keep his word and uphold the truth." King Dasharatha remained speechless. Rama, self-possessed and unperturbed, replied, "Mother, rejoice. I will gladly mat my hair and wear deer skin like an ascetic and go to Dandaka forest for 14 years. I still do not understand why my father didn't greet me as usual. He knows I'd carry out his wishes even if it cost me my life. It hurts me that my father hesitated to share the happy news of Bharata's consecration with me. For Bharata, I'm ready to give up everything, the kingdom, my wealth, and my life. With the king's orders, please send messengers on swift horses to fetch Bharata from his uncle's home right away. Kaikeyi agreed that she'd send messengers right away to Bharata in Kekaya. She urged Rama to leave right away to the forest from there to avoid delay or any reversal in his decision. Rama firmly reiterated that he had no desire for the kingdom or power and that he would leave to spend the next 14 years in Dandaka forest right after taking leave of his mother Kausalya and his wife Sita. He fell at the feet of his father, who was unresponsive, and fell at Kaikeyi's feet and went around them in a pradakshina circle as a sign of respect, and he left the room. Lakshmana was waiting for him right outside, his eyes brimming with tears. Rama graciously waved away the bearers of his royal insignia, yak-tail fan, umbrella, and other accessories. He refused the chariot and walked to Kausalya's home, showing no distress, quietly greeting folks along the way as usual. Lakshmana accompanied Rama quietly, his heart full of anger and sorrow on behalf of his older brother, but showing no outward signs of disappointment. In Kausalya's palace, the two princes saw immense activity, busyness of attendants, sacrificial yajnas in progress, Brahmins chanting Vedas, pots and vessels of grains, ghee and food, assembled crowds of people gathered to receive Queen Kausalya's charity and sacrificial offerings, and the queen herself was absorbed in prayer from the evening before, sitting in meditation of Lord Vishnu. All these activities were intended for Rama's welfare, long life, and success as a ruler. Kausalya was greatly delighted to see her son Rama prostrating in front of her, seeking her blessings before his coronation. She embraced him, kissed him, and wished him a long life and fame like that of Rajarishis who adhere to dharma, righteous duty. She offered him a seat and refreshments. Rama, without delay, informed her that he couldn't accept the seat and food fit for royalty anymore. He told her the circumstances that led to his promise to leave Ayodhya right away to live like an ascetic's life in the Dandaka forest, sleeping on kusa grass, with his hair matted, wearing deerskin clothes, eating roots and fruits for the next 14 years. He added as good news that his beloved and wise brother Bharata would be crowned heir in the coronation ceremonies. Kausalya was heartbroken by the news of Rama's exile and fell down unconscious. Once she was revived by Rama's gentle care, she exclaimed that she was either heartless or iron-hearted, since she hadn't fallen down dead immediately on hearing this horrible news of Rama, her beloved son, being banished to the forest. She lamented how she'd already felt disrespected due to the king's clear preference for his younger wives, and how she'd hoped that with Rama being king, she would be awarded higher status as queen mother. Now, she wailed, I will be insulted and ignored even more since my son has been banished from the kingdom. She looked at Rama, the young, composed and kind prince, realizing that she couldn't live without him. In addition, she worried about all the ordeals without food and proper shelter that he would have to endure and survive in the wild for 14 years. She declared that as his mother, she was an equally respect-worthy parent as his father, and that she hence refused to give him permission to leave Ayodhya to go to the forest. Lakshmana, hearing her expressions of heart-rending sorrow, took strength in her will and asserted that Rama should not leave the kingdom due to Queen Kaikeyi's demands. Lakshmana continued that their old father had probably lost his mind, being overpowered by perverse passions and lust. He He declared that the kingdom was not his father's to give away to please his lover. By doing so, the king had abandoned the welfare of the kingdom. He praised Rama's virtues and how even Rama's enemies respected him. He addressed Rama, pledging his loyalty, support, and his fighting arms. Lakshmana stated, "The coronation and crown were Rama's, by right and by the consensus of the wise ministers, gurus, the people of Kosala, and the king." He passionately declared himself ready to battle with all who stood against Rama's right to rule. "If the entire population of Ayodhya is against you, I will fight them all for you," he said. Without hesitation, he asserted that he would slay Bharata and friends of Bharata who took Bharata's side. Lakshmana pleaded with Rama to fight for the welfare of the kingdom, since nobody could win against Rama's strengths as a warrior. He concluded his speech reprimanding his father that even though the king was their father, their first guru or teacher, the king deviated from dharma, virtuous duty, failed to discriminate between right and wrong, and allowed himself to be misled, he too deserved to be punished. He turned to Kausalya, "Mother, before Rama enters the forest or fire or battlefield, I, Lakshmana, will already be there before him. The strength of my arms, my valor, my loyalty are all for Rama. I will remove your distress, Mother." Hearing Lakshmana's resolve, Kausalya turned to Rama and pleaded with him to heed Lakshmana's words. Rama had listened to Lakshmana's fiery pleas with serenity, understanding Lakshmana's disappointment and anger on his behalf. He responded to his mother's grievances first. He reasoned with her gently, reminding her about the various instances when his Ikshvaku ancestors took extreme actions to keep their word in their path of dharma, righteous duty. He reiterated that his intentions weren't unprecedented and that he was following the well-trodden path taken by his ancestors. He was confident that by following his father's orders, he was neither deviating from dharma nor forsaking the kingdom or his duty. He was, like all his ancestors of the Ikshvaku race, including his father, upholding satya and dharma. He reminded Lakshmana and his mother that their beloved Bharata, who respected everyone, who was gentle and kind, was going to be the king instead and needed their love and support. He responded affectionately to Lakshmana with kindness and understanding. "Lakshmana, I know your love for me and I am well aware of the strength of your arms and your ability to win over a kingdom, single-handedly too, for me. Our mother is overcome by great and incomparable grief. As Kshatriyas, warriors, we know dharma is supreme. Satya, the truth, is established in dharma, righteousness. We have to stay on the path of dharma. I cannot forsake the orders of my excellent father and king. The king's actions are also supported by dharma and his intention to uphold satya, the truth. Do not adopt violence or entertain ignoble thoughts." He gently entreated his mother, Kausalya, to grant him permission to leave and asked her to stop all her activities intended for his consecration and instead perform yajna duties to ensure his welfare and adherence to satya and dharma in the forest. A distressed Kausalya withheld her permission until he agreed to let her accompany him. Rama calmly insisted that her dharma or duty with her husband living would be to be with him, nurture and care for her husband, the king, in his old age, especially since he would be heartbroken and bereft of his oldest son. "O mother, I will not forsake the great glory of fulfilling my father's promise, upholding satya and dharma, for the sake of a mere kingdom. I do not wish to acquire this insignificant earth unrighteously. Devi, please grant me permission to fulfill my promise." Rama knew Lakshmana was deeply distressed and still unconvinced despite Rama's insistence and reassurances. He asked Lakshmana to accept these events as the will of the all-powerful Daivam, destiny wielded by gods and accepted by mortals as fate, which no mortal could surmount. He asked Lakshmana to look at Kaikeyi's actions and words as effects of the great power of fate and to treat her with compassion and mercy. He reminded Lakshmana about how even the wise rishis, their senses and mind under control, could still go astray, thwarted in their efforts by divine intentions, and that these unexpected hindrances, despite one's best intentions, were signs of destiny. Rama repeated to Lakshmana that even though his consecration was obstructed by chance or by act of destiny or divinity, he wasn't affected negatively since his mind was in his control. His dharma, his duty, was to follow his father's command, whether it was to rule the kingdom or leave the kingdom. Hence, Rama claimed that he wasn't unduly elated or aggrieved by either. He entreated Lakshmana to similarly accept the situation with equanimity and avoid disappointment and anger. Lakshmana listened to Rama like a snake coiled before attacking, keeping his anger and emotions in check, his head bowed. This is an interesting metaphor by Maharishi Valmiki in this situation, since Lakshmana is considered to be the incarnation of the primeval Adisesha, the thousand-hooded snake on which Lord Vishnu reposed. When Rama finished his appeals for calm and permission to leave, Lakshmana, like a hooded snake, raised his head and responded to Rama with uncontrolled anger and venom in his words. "Rama, you are the greatest of Kshatriyas, warriors. Your enemies shake at your approach. You are speaking thus because you are afraid that going against father's words is going against Satya and Dharma. Why do you talk of chance, destiny, and one's fortune as if these can be overcome by vigorous efforts? These are powerless and pitiable forces against a courageous warrior and his exertions. You know the Shastras. How can you doubt the evil intentions and machinations of the King and Queen Kaikeyi? Do you not see their long-term deceptions by using soft measures of hindrance without going against Dharma openly? Why do you seek to depart to the forest with unwarranted haste? Your sense of righteousness has deluded your intellect and caused this unnecessary dilemma. Why do you want to leave the path of Dharma, your duty towards this kingdom, to execute the contemptible words of an old king entrapped by Queen Kaikeyi's influence? Please pardon me that I cannot accept your decision, since I can see through this plot hatched by devious and treacherous minds. Destiny and fate are depended on by weak and the cowardly. The courageous, who act valiantly with strength and self-respect, ignore it. Destiny, fate, and acts of God can be defeated by human efforts and valor. My arms and weapons do not exist merely as objects of beauty. I will stand against destiny, the gods, the guardians, if they try to stop Rama's coronation. Do not fear, O brother. After you become king, I will protect this kingdom, the borders, and maintain order among the feudal kings, leaders, and chiefs of people." Lakshmana spoke passionately about overcoming obstacles to Rama's coronation, consolidating support of leaders, gurus, and citizens afterwards, and the importance of protecting the kingdom for not only the citizens and for Dharma, but also for Rama's descendants. Rama listened calmly until Lakshmana completed his rant. Then he consolingly but firmly said, "I will abide by my father's words. Know that this is the only true path for me." Kausalya's heart had soared hearing Lakshmana's persuasive words and calls to action. On hearing Rama's resolve, she exclaimed resignedly, "Indeed, Daivam, God's will, is all-powerful." She bemoaned how her son, who grew up in the palace without hardships, would survive in the forest, gathering fruits and roots, sleeping on the ground, struggling against wild animals and untamed elements. She vented that while his attendants, friends, and family could stay back in the palace in comfort, she would leave it all to endure the hardships of the forest with Rama. Rama, meanwhile, understanding her grief and anxiety, reassured her again that he would return after 14 years and that she couldn't leave her husband to be with her son, since that would be against her dharma, her duty. To alleviate her pain and distract herself during his absence, he suggested to her to live like an ascetic in the palace, bringing her mind and senses under control, performing her duties with attention, and living simply. He reminded her about her duties to her husband, the king, the kingdom, and encouraged her to nurture her bereft husband, support Bharata when he became king, and to continue performing sacrifices, rituals, and charity prescribed in the Vedas without any attachment. Eventually, unable to dissuade Rama, Kausalya accepted Rama's decision to leave. Feeling somewhat calmed by Rama's wise advice and composure, she summoned the priests who had gathered and who were already performing Yajna ceremonies. She asked them to stop the ceremonies related to the coronation and instead use the materials to perform ceremonial blessings to protect Rama and keep away evil while he lived in the forest for 14 years. She blessed Rama, calling on all the gods and guardians of natural forces and elements, the seasons, time, stars, planets, sun, moon, space, wind, water, earth, woods, birds, and animals to protect him. She wished Rama long life, prosperity, and blessed him that his resolve to stay on the right path would protect him. She tearfully embraced and kissed her son farewell. Rama respectfully went around her in pradakshina, circling her in a clockwise direction as a sign of respect, prostrated at her feet, and took leave of her with a heavy heart. Rama returned to his palace, occupied in his thoughts. Sita rushed exuberantly to welcome him and immediately knew things hadn't turned out as expected. She noticed the lack of royal bearers of insignia, celebratory cheers and smiles, absence of ministers, gurus, and leaders following Rama, absence of entertainers, musicians, poets, bards, and citizens who would typically be singing his praises by now, and the lack of signs of ceremonial blessings, flowers, turmeric, vermilion, fragrance, milk, honey, sacred rice, etc., that weren't on Rama or his clothes. She was moved by his thoughtful countenance that replaced his usual cheer. Nevertheless, she cheerfully welcomed him home and asked him about the details of his day. Rama, his heart weighed by the thought of leaving his young bride behind, quietly narrated the events of the morning and his resolve to leave for Dandaka forest for 14 years. He continued that she was well-loved and could stay in Ayodhya, supported by and caring for all the people dear to him. He tenderly entreated her to take special care of his father and treat all his mothers equally well and his brothers as her own, and Shatrughna, his youngest brother, as her son. He cautioned her that she needed to be agreeable in his absence without displaying grief, since the events that led to his departure also elevated Bharata to be king. He kindly reassured her that the 14 years would pass quickly if they remained steadfast to living simply, performing their daily religious and spiritual duties with control over their mind and senses, even though they would be living apart. Sita calmly listened to Rama without interrupting, grasping the news of the obstructed coronation, Bharata's imminent installation as crown prince and next king, Rama's exile for 14 years, all of these by the orders of the same king, her beloved father-in-law, who had just the previous day announced Rama's coronation. On top of these, she heard Rama's intention to leave her in Ayodhya for 14 years, while he lived like an ascetic in the forest. She noticed his kindness, calm composure, and his emphasis on her duties in the palace household in his absence. In the next episode, we will see how Sita reacts and responds to the terrifying news of Rama leaving and living in the forest for the next 14 years without her. Ram Ram.